Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here. I think we are all getting kind of tired, and I have to apologize. I think I'm coming down with a cold, so I don't. If I sound congested, I do apologize for that. I'm with the National Environmental Education Foundation, and I'm going to be co-presenting this with Dr. Brian McNally from the Emory University School of Medicine, who serves as an advisor for the program that I'll be sharing with you. And let me tell you briefly about the National Environmental Education Foundation. We are a private nonprofit and located in Washington, D.C. We were chartered by Congress in 1990, and our mission is to advance environmental knowledge. And the way we do that is we work with trusted professionals, such as healthcare providers and weathercasters and land managers. And I have two handouts in the back for you. One is our list of resources for our healthcare providers, and the other one is on the EarthGauge program, which is our weather program, and that's the topic of today, of course. And of course, we are all familiar with the connections between weather and health, the public health consequences of the recent events. These are some of the ones over the last 10 years that we've all have experienced. If not personally, we have seen them on TV and have really felt for those people who were impacted by these and most recent events like Katrina and Ike, and clearly there's a real connection between weather and health. And while it may not seem obvious that the best place to provide health information is the local TV weather programs, our research has shown that one of the main reasons why people watch local news is for the weathercast. And of course, weathercasters are really, in some local stations, they may be the only scientists at the station. And the public really trusts them as experts on science and, of course, health-related issues. And especially during extreme weather events, people are really in a learning mode, so that would mean that they will remember the information that they would receive during those times. So based on all these facts, in 2005, we formed a partnership with the AMS and COMET and to position broadcast meteorologists as station scientists and providing environmental information to them in a way that they can use on the air. And of course, we also wanted to educate them about these environmental issues. And one of the ways that we do that is under the partnership with AMS through their certification program, provide educational modules. And these educational modules are available free online. And through these methods, we are able to reach the general public with environmental and environmental health information through weathercast. And here's a map of the stations at the moment that we are working with and reaching, as you can see, almost 200 million local TV viewers through the 98 cities that EarthGauge is providing information to weathercasters. We also have a partnership with the Weather Channel, and through that partnership, we are able to reach 91 million households every day. So this provides a really excellent opportunity to reach the public with the weather and public health information. So I am going to be actually introducing to you the latest module, online module, that we have developed under the EarthGauge program, and it is focusing on the weather and health, public health. And I don't know if you've seen the handout in the back, but this is going to be available in the next week or so on our website, and I have provided the website information. It can be downloaded freely, and you can see it. And the way we develop these materials are, of course, with the help of our expert advisory committees. I'm here today with Dr. Brian McNally, as I said, who serves on this course advisory committee, and now it's my pleasure to have him come and share the rest of it with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Leila. Briefly, I'm going to go through the actual course content and try to share with you the materials that are going to be available, as you heard, very shortly. My background is in emergency medicine, physician. I work in Atlanta. Previously, have a background in public health and undergraduate degree in meteorology. So that's the connection I have with working with National Weather Service and more recently with NEEF. The module itself is, again, trying to interface public health and weather, specifically the broadcast meteorology community, but this obviously can be applied to other individuals that are interested in learning. It's this online training module. It's free. It's broken down into six modules, as you can see here at the top. And some of the basic nuts and bolts of the course are trying to emphasize those relationships between weather and public health. Obviously, everyday weather events are emphasized in the course, such things as UV radiation, hot heat and cold events, pollen, mold, and relationship air quality, things like that. Extreme weather events, obviously tornadic activity, hurricanes, wildfires out here in San Diego, since we don't get too many tornadoes out here, those relationships and how they impact health, as well as climatic change or longer-term trends or potential trends, and making sure that there's an understanding of those relationships. A module on risk communication for the broadcast meteorologist, as well as emphasizing those partnerships between public health and the media. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. And then some actual online messaging that can be used on the air. There's going to be a quick video clip here. We just tested this before, just to give you an example. Hopefully this is loud enough. So, again, that's an example. There's other modules in there, but to try to make it interactive. There's an interactive game as well called WXRX, or Weather Health, Weather Prescription, giving you an example. You click on it. It's not going to give you this one, but if you wanted, you know, to go for 300 points, ask Alex for 300 points. You can get a question. Heat wave is expected. Whose health is especially at risk? What do you think about this question? Everyone agree with the first, chronic disease and prior medical illness might be more vulnerable. You probably check that. People in air-conditioned buildings? No, unless the air conditioner is not working. Elderly? Yep, disabled. Sounds good. Taxi drivers? As long as they have air conditioning, I guess they're okay. People working outdoors? Yes. Infants and children? Homeless? Mobility restricted? And 911 dispatcher. So you click your choices, you hit done. It's obviously going to give you the correct answers and then give you a little bit more description about it to emphasize. So it's good adult learning. I went through these questions just to make sure I could answer them. And when we developed it, I did okay. I'll just in the interest of time, we're almost done here, but just to give you an example, the course also acknowledges some of the other partnerships that have existed with the public health community and media and weather-related events. And one of the examples that's been used in the past that's been successful is the development of the heat health warning system that was developed by the National Weather Service, specifically with Dr. Lawrence Kaltstein. I'm going to not say his name correctly, but he's a gentleman that now I think works at the University of Miami, but previously worked at the University of Delaware, and acknowledged that there was a number of excessive heat deaths in Philadelphia in 1993. There was a recognition that there needed to be a better model to try to tailor a forecast using both weather data and previous climate data to look at mortality. And this was an example that when implemented, it actually was implemented the hottest year to date at the time in 1995 in Philadelphia. And there was a suggestion that this model may have saved up to 300 lives. Again, as the audio clip showed before, it's challenging to estimate sometimes heat-related deaths, but the idea that this example now is used as a national model, and it's specific to the community, you know, 105 degrees in Phoenix for 3 days is obviously not the same as 105 in Boston for 3 days in terms of people that potentially become patients in terms of their ability to handle that heat stress. Different community and using climatic data is what the model, I guess, has helped, you know, predict where there may be mortality events and to be able to get that message out to the media so the public can react appropriately. So the idea of partnering with the media is a key concept, you know, in the presentation, and understanding that those messages can be tailored locally have been identified in the course. The other idea is that this course can be used as a starting point to begin a conversation, you know, with a public health official in your community to engage with the broadcast meteorologist, establish rapport. So in advance of an extreme weather event, you'll already have, you know, that connection. You know, the saying in disaster medicine is you should not be handing out business cards at a disaster. You should already have that relationship established, and this would be a good example of that. And then finally, recognizing that the course has other pieces to it, particularly other graphics and images that are available online besides the game and the video clips that I shared earlier. It's apparently copyright cleared, and it's available. And like I mentioned earlier, not just to broadcast meteorologists, but for lay providers. And I believe in November, or very shortly, this is going to be available online, and there's handouts in the back. Okay, so I guess we'll end there. Specifically to target broadcast meteorologists, just as you heard earlier, there's been other modules made in the past. I believe watershed was a topic that was provided to broadcast meteorologists in the past to educate them about. This is more specific to that interaction between weather and public health, educating a broadcast meteorologist to understand some basic health messaging. But it's at almost a layperson level, it could be open to anybody that really wants to, you know, emphasize or understand those relationships. It's not necessarily going to be over their head.
I mean, this, of course, as Brian said, I mean, anybody could understand this, but, We are not really doing a release to the general public about this release, but we are really reaching out to the professionals, mainly.
Yeah. And I think that was the secondary message was.
Professionals, and you, of course, you know, and it's written, as you said, in such a way that it's not, you know, weathercast or jargon, it's, you know, if anybody can understand it. And I think it gives you an opportunity to build these relationships that were previously mentioned.
Yeah.
So, for clarity, you're rolling this out to the weathercasters, or you're rolling this out to the
Well, these are available online free for anybody. These are specifically designed for the weathercasters, and they are, since we are doing this in partnership with AMS, it's part of their certification. However, they are written in such a way that if you're interested in the connection between weather and public health, which obviously you must be since you are here today, and the
right.
purpose
Could
of
all the broadcast meteorologists raise their hand in the audience right
we
now.
We are here, you know, to make that connection with the public health professionals to provide you this information so that you can reach out to your weathercasters in your community have that dialogue going.
Yeah.
And
we think it's a great place to start that conversation and to initiate, you know, so they're aware of the course, but also to say, you know, I'd like to maybe sit down and meet with you later to talk about some other public health messaging events that would be specific to your community. So it would open that door, and that's the hope. But it is targeted to, you know, initially that audience.
Right. And there will be a PowerPoint presentation that will be also available. You are free to download and use. And we're going to have another module on climate change in early 2000. What's coming? 2009.
Sure.
It's kind of a quick follow-up. So is the hope that meteorologists will integrate the public health messages when they're making a broadcast during a heat incident or a weather incident?
Exactly. And this is, you know, again, just one more second to clarify, maybe, I mean, we didn't, you know, clarify it, especially during my portion of the presentation. This is a training module. However, we are feeding these, you know, weathercasters on a regular basis. As I told you, you know, we are working with 160 of them around the country and through the Weather Channel. We send them weekly messages and based on the three-day forecast. And so the public health messages are going to them, but clearly they need to have this background information so that they can also make use of the you know, messages that we send them. I'll be here, you know, later if you want more information.
So is this module online now for people to go to?
It's coming online now, probably in a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in seeing it, you can go to your website?
Right, and it's on the handout.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Audrey Smargiassi. Why don't you come on up? She's with
The
Quebec Institute of Public Health. It was in French, so. And she's going to be speaking about variation, spatial variation, mortality, and high temperatures.